comments are clause scriptures on the second page. There is not else to have a scripture reference. So this page 1 and 2, and I'm going to try to stick to the topic. My wife said, you can't have a vessel box. I've heard that before because Lester Pellet told me one time, said, you know what? My student called my class a big Sandy. History of the church and digressions.
Yeah, and talk about different things at different times.
Well, I'm not going to get into Dixon Parkway and then Westby's and Joel Ruth's ethnic background, but just in case they start picking on me. Mrs. Hillary Clinton stated that it takes a village to raise a child. My comeback is, it takes a Viking to raise a village. We are God's image. We're His image-bearing creation. There's nothing like us in all the rest of the world. There are different species, of course, but we are God's image-bearing creation. And God is the parent of mankind. That says a lot. He is the parent of mankind, the creator of mankind, the originator of mankind. He's not kind of a John Calvin person that kind of hung out in the background there and then got involved in the last few centuries. Male and female, created He them. He made the man, and He made another one. Each one an individual, not a combination, two separate beings, two individuals. Does that mean He is two? No, they were made in His image. In Acts 17:18, Paul and Adam stated that we are His offspring, mankind. He was talking to people in the synagogue, He was talking to the people at the marketplace. Interesting, he spent one day at the synagogue and about 6 days in the marketplace preaching about this one time. And He said, for in Him we live and move and have our being. He said, even your poets say that. And as the Old Testament points out, God is a Father. Our humanity's Father. Not humanity's mother, uncle, aunt, cousin, maid, whatever. He is our Father. And what then is He, God, like? What is He like? I can ask any one of you, say, what do you think God is like? And you get a certain opinion, a view of God. What is He like? How should He be understood? How should we understand the fact that He is a Father? How should He be seen as? Well, the Old Testament names describe our Father, Almighty God, and His fatherhood. Isaiah 63, verses 15 to 16, it states, look down from heaven and see where are your zeal and your strength. Wasn't that all up in heaven with all the angelic hosts and all the rest of the cosmos? Then look down from heaven and see where are your zeal and your strength. For the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me. If Isaiah puts it as me, obviously it means all of us, all men. Our Father's heart, that is one of yearning and mercy toward us. Not toward the rest of the creation. He loves it, He created it, maintains it, is steward over it. But His focus is on humanity. Isaiah 63:16, doubtless You are our Father. You, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer, for everlasting is Your name. What the name that somebody just finally came up with, or a name changed. It's always been that way. In Psalm 103, verses 13 to 17, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us. All of you that are fathers have been fathers, hope to be fathers. You have that innate pity for your children, same thing God has for us. He pities them that fear Him. He pities them that fear him. Pity is a compassionate, empathetic feeling into it. I think the German said, I'm feeling, feeling into the person. And not only just sympathy, but a feeling into the reality of what they are. For he knows our frames. He remembers that we're dust. But the mercy of the Lord God is from everlasting to everlasting upon them who fear thee. I want to quote now from the book by our friend Henry Gordon, who's at the conference in Pasadena. A Prayer to Our Father is a book that he and Keith Johnson co-authored. And they go into the many biblical Old Testament names that refer to God in his position. And I'm changing the word they use. They said his role. Now, an actor plays a role. God doesn't play a role. He is something. It's his position. It's what he is, not a role-playing thing. So his position is our heavenly Father. Most of these names begin with the Hebrew word Abba, meaning my Father. Abba, or Abba, put a B in there in the pronunciation. Abba means my Father. The simplest of those names is Abiel, or Abiel, meaning God is my Father. Other names express the different ways that God acts as our Father in heaven, such as Abidah, or Abidah, my Father knows. Does God know? Is there anything he doesn't know? I don't think he knows exactly how we will respond in any given situation. That's why we're here. Richard Crochet and Brigham Wood, in 1972, were there for the feast, and I was at such a sense of humor from him that he stood up and said, why are we here? Then he answered his own question, because we're not all there. And you know, we're not all there yet. Our Father knows, but there are things I think that he doesn't know. Abidan. My Father judges. Can we use that in our society? Our Father judges. Right judgment. Righteous judgment. Honest judgment. Abiezer. My Father helps. And who hasn't been helped by God? You're in a very difficult situation. My Father helped. My Father answers and responds to our needs. Abinadab. My Father gives freely. My Father gives freely. God, thank that. All of us would love to have and have had those, no doubt, in many cases, most cases, hopefully. A Father who gives freely. I had a dad that way. 12 in our family, we grew up hard up and not dirt poor. And every Christmas, we were back in those days, we would get what's called the E-order. In the USA, we called the Sears order, or the Simpson Sears, whatever it is. And he's once a year, in all of our winter clothing, everything we need through to the summer, would come in that huge cardboard box. And we would open that on Christmas Day because there wasn't much else that was going to be there except good food. And my dad would never give in to Christmas spirit until the last few days. My sisters, my mother were into the decorating tree and all that stuff. But he would come in on Christmas Day. We'd open that even order box. And he would say, kids, call us the gang. There ain't no Santa Claus. If there is, you're looking at it. That always stuck with me. Father gives freely, but knows where it comes from, rather than just give it. There are names that praise God as our Father. Abihud. My Father is glorious. Abiram. My Father is exalted.
interesting that Anthony's comments on the opening just struck me that has been all the different groups and variations of, and what are we doing here? The son just said, you know, this is like a magnet that would draw all of the diverse groups into the right polarity. You know, you can start from somewhere, but if you start on the fringes, where do you go? And when you have that polarity centered, all the bodies will come to it. And I'm starting to see that with people I've ministered to over the last 30 years. On Facebook, there's people that you call contact. They're now 40 and 50 years of age, and they're from kids at that time. And, you know, they're drawn to this somehow there's something beyond what my group's doing, what that group's doing, what Uncle so-and-so are doing, Aunt so-and-so are doing. Like a magnet, there's a polarity there, and God is that singular polarity that we'll be drawn to. Well, now I'm making a good sermon. Okay, my Father is exalted. I'll be doomed. My Father is good. My Father is good. Not, he'd like to be good. He's the essence of what good means. What does it mean to be good? Well, you can have nice thoughts in your heart. You can be sincere, but are you innately good? That's innate to God. You didn't think otherwise. Avi Shalom, or Avi Shalom. My Father is peace. Peace. I think hopefully all of us have experienced that peace of mind that passes understanding for you. That peace is so deep and so real. Abigail, my Father is the joy of doing, the joy of being. Our friend Dan will send me a note for the feast of the feast of Chagat of India, Pentecost, and he said, Owen, have a great feast with joy, have a joyful feast. Rather than just have peace. My Father is joy. Joyful. Thanksgiving. Almighty God gives us that. One name that I'll close with here that's particularly interesting is Abishua. And then this is the name of Aaron, the high priest's great grandson. The name Abishua means my Father provides. My Father provides. What does he provide? It means my Father provides salvation. Who doesn't want salvation? The Notre Dame is for Christians. You know, and they against God, fight to prove God. Now, I've never heard anybody talk more about God than atheists. They don't believe it exists. It's like, you know, I'm driving this car around, I'm having a great time with it. But there's no car there. Well, why are you talking about it? Why are you spending so much time trying to prove something wrong that doesn't exist? Anyway, I think he was my favorite atheist, by the way. And I had a reason for that. He suffered a tragedy. And God didn't answer his need as he saw it fit. And so he had this continual determination to show God up, to prove God wasn't there yet. He hadn't done what I needed, so obviously he doesn't care, he doesn't exist. All those that think he went to heaven when he died, or as one of the hockey coaches in Canada said about a former general manager, well, where do you think Roger is? Then it was Roger Nielsen. He believed in God, he was a Christian coach in the NHL. And he said, well, where do you think this fellow is? He said, we don't know whether he's looking up or looking down. It wouldn't be the past judgment. Anyway, our Father saves, our Father provides. Or simply, my Father saves. You can take both names together to express my Father, my God, provides salvation. When Jesus, someone can point out the first one, Yeshua, is there a man named? When he taught the Jewish multitudes to pray, to our Father, who art in heaven, on the mount, on the sermon, that sermon on the mount, he was conveying all of these Old Testament connotations that were embedded in the hearts and minds, and even the names of those Jews hearing them. They had names that referred to God. Jehoshaphat, Joshua, different names that referred to God. You go through them, you see God's totally involved in that naming process. It's not like in Canada, maybe America, to some extent, where it's just France and Delhi and something else, where we just have a name but it has no real meaning. Every name in that Sermon on the Mount had meaning, resonating meaning. The Lord's Prayer to our Father is anchored in, and you hear this clearly, the Lord's Prayer to our Father, Almighty God in heaven, is anchored in the Israelite nations. It was never in the pagan nation. It was never produced there, it was never taught, preached, or lived there. It is not an Orthodox invention. It is not an Orthodox invention. It was preached by a Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, to fellow Jews and Israelites. And then it was taken to the Gentiles as well. It was the Father's inspiration in Jesus' teaching in that Sermon on the Mount that brought the core of the message into their hearts and minds and thinking. And speaking of God's future regathering of all of Israel into the promised land, that's the last 10 tribes and some variations of beliefs on where they are. Though all Israel regathered to Jerusalem and Israel, God says in Jeremiah 3:19, "You Israel, all 12, you shall call me my Father, my Father." Boaz, in responding to the field workers, was not ashamed to make that name resonate. God be with you. And it was just a common occurrence, common everyday salutations. "You shall call me my Father and not turn away from me." And I'm offering to people, turn away from God. Chris Hitchman didn't have an answer to his tragedy, but so he turned away. He was open to this, but he turned away. And so often that happens because something doesn't go our way, we turn away rather than turning to. The prophet Malachi, to me, this is a gem of scripture. This could be emblazoned on the capital in Ottawa, Canada, New England, Australia, New Zealand, around the world, USA, United America. Malachi 2:10. Love this one. Malachi 2:10. "Have we not all one Father? One Father. Has not one God created us? Have we not all one Father?" Not multiples, not triples, dualities, combinations, bunches of grace type of thing. No, we all have one Father. And has not one God created us? And as God's children, we have an innate, hardwired need to know and experience our Father's love and attention. Is there anyone in the city here that hasn't had that need in real times of stress and even in times of joy, but especially in times of trial and stress? We have that innate need to know and understand and experience that God has you singled out individually in His mind and can focus on you. We're not just like ants in an anthill. And how would you like to focus on every one of those ants that had in that anthill, trying respond to each one. God does that with all of humanity. How many 7 billion plus right now that are still living? How many have died? How many will be resurrected? Where's God going with this in eternity? Wow. The focus individually on each one of us is fantastic. Our children of plants exhibit this. Look at me, Dad. Watch me, Mom. They don't want to be recognized, seen, see attention and approbation and kind of a pat on the back. They used to pack apples in big crates back in the 1940s, late 30s. And the apple box was made with slats, and then it had two nice, beautiful, big, solid wood ends that were octagonal. But we got our apples out. We went through a lot of apples. And in apple box ends, made perfect breadboards for Mother's Day. So my mother got herself 6 bucks of 7 boys bought the girls in the group. She got 7 breadboards every Mother's Day. How would you like to be told to settle with that? And you're a mom, and you know that every one of us knows whose breadboard is which. And whose was standing on the end to make sure all the bales were gone. She made sure she knew every one of those breadboards. That shows the attention of a parent and a father that only God can project to every one of us individually. Humanly, we don't have multiple bodies. You're the result of one sperm and one egg, which came to be one being. If you're a duality, you should probably not be here. If you're a triality, you probably should. And we are one being. Uno hombre. Children of adoption very often see who their father is physically. Friend of mine, Dennis Lawrence, who attended at Oxford College, redhead, he is one of my favorite redheads. He was a twin with a brother, and he found his brother. He had been adopted during the late 40s and 50s. And he had been adopted, and he found his twin brother running a pizza joint in Brandon, Manitoba, and he was fostered out or adopted in that area, and he was reared by his grandmother after his parents died. Here he finds his twin brother in the same area, and they didn't even know each other existed when we started working. That's amazing. We seek our physical father, how much more so our spiritual father? And in that quest, I don't wonder. And spiritually, God admonishes us in Matthew 23:9. Call no man father upon earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And again, when we talk about church fathers, call no man father. What does it mean by that? I think we need to get back to where the focus should be. Paul in Acts 24:14 points this out. This I confess, according to the way that they call ascent. So I worship the God of my fathers. Well, he's calling somebody fathers now. Let's carry on. Who are those fathers? His forebears, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His physical fathers, spiritual father. Who is the father of the father of the faithful? God is the father of Abraham. And Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. So he was worshiping according to what his physical fathers had been taught by their spiritual father. And Jesus stated this in John 8:54. My Father honors me. And God did honor the Son. Malachi 3:6 shows that God as a Father is not variable. There's no shadow of turning. He's not this way today, that way tomorrow. The other way, God, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here. I didn't go the way I wanted. I'm going to get upset. He says, for I am the Lord. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, and all that encompasses my territories. I change not. I change not. Not unchangeable. I'm variable. I may be this way today, but no count on it tomorrow. There is not an Old Testament Father God and a New Testament Father God. There just are not. They're one and the same. Heard that story probably about the potentate that wakes up late at night and it's Sunday morning. What? Is the universe sitting on it? I can't go to sleep on it. Find that out. And he called all his wise men and astrologers and they say, what's the world sitting on? Your Majesty, it's sitting on the back of a giant turtle. Come on, now I'm going to sleep. Guy wakes up by the king's door, runs back and says, Your Majesty has turtled all the way down. That was part of the turtle sitting on. It's one God all the way up and all the way down. There is no variableness in there. There is no equation. One God, Satan's temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4:10. Christ answered and said, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That word serve in the Greek is actually but Korean, trujo. I'll spell it for you here. L-A-T-R-E-O-U-O. And it means, and it never refers to Christ. We're going to be slaves, do us a Christ. We're never anything like that word means like, to anyone but God Almighty, our Father. It only refers to Him. A term that applies only to our Father. Matthew 6:24, he points out, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Nor three. Why not? Why not? Do any of you ever have dual citizenship? Anybody have dual citizenship? I think it's different. Okay, if you're, I don't have dual citizenship, but I'm Canadian. But if I had Canadian American citizenship, what does that do when it comes to the November elections? And the yes, and another, does it not slightly divide your loyalty, your focus? I mean, you may be all for Stephen Harper, our Prime Minister, all for Barack Obama, the President of the United States. I'm not saying you are, I just said that's a possibility. But it would change your, it divides your loyalty, because it divides your attention, doesn't it? And I'm not saying that's wrong, I'm just saying that's what that does. God is not divided. It's not divided, and it can't be divided. By anything. And if we have any other God before him, Exodus 20, you shall have no other God before me. Why? Because that divides your loyalty and your worship. And that's not good for you. Oh yes, but let's be multicultural and be generous. Canada has tried that. And we're learning with many other nations out of Europe. That just doesn't work. You cannot be multicultural with God. You can have multi-ethnic, but not multi-worship. You can't have syncretism and mixing of seeds when it comes to God. It's got to be one and the same. Numbers 23:19. What does God say? God is not a man. I am not a man. I am a man. Ken is a man. You men are men. You men are women. God is not a man. He is God Almighty. This transcends and is above and beyond everything that mankind, ourselves, is and can be or ever will be. It's a unique, overriding, all-encompassing position. I am not a man. He has no father. He has no mother. He has no beginning and no end. Nor, as he says, carries on, am I a son of man. I'm not a man, and I'm not a son of man. Who do we know as a son of man? The Son, Jesus Christ, said, I am the Son of Man. He quite simply just say, I'm God and the Son of Man. Well, you know what? You know, I'm not. get it going straight. I got to get it going straight. So I'm not a man, I'm not God, I'm not the Son of Man. Who do we know as the Son of Man? Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus is not here. Now when he says there, nor am I the Son of Man that I should repent, it doesn't mean that you can't read into that. Well, see, Jesus had to repent. If he was man, he had to repent. Well, if he didn't sin, he wouldn't have to repent. But the repent there had to be, no, I'm not going to change my mind. Well, that's going to be difficult. It didn't work out the way you thought it too. So Jesus is not here. He is not God. He is the Son of God, and he revealed the Father to us. His Father and our Father, and he told Philip. Philip said, well, just show us the Father. He said, Philip, take a look. You see me, you see the Father. We think alike. We're one in mind and heart and unity of purpose. But we're two beings. There's two. They're not two, or they're not three. They're not one being wrong up there. In conclusion, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. His and our Father. In Matthew 6, 9, 13. In the Heavenly Prayer, in this book, the Covenant Prayer, and our being means Father, God, means our God, our being. I'll read it from the that translation. He has it also in the Hebrew. Our Father in heaven, may your name be sanctified. May your kingdom be blessed. Your will shall be done in heaven and on earth. And it makes quite interesting point from that. Now thy will be done, come to come see things on us, things on us at all, whatever will be. No, thy will shall be done. Not we hope it will be done. We wish it for it. It shall be done. In heaven and on earth. Give us our bread continually for daily. Forgive us the debt of our sins, as we forgive the debt of those who sin against us. Do not bring us into the hand for the test. God doesn't lead anyone into temptation. And the King James Version of half, or again called the Orthodox Version, is that lead us not into temptation. Well, the word you think I'm going to lead you. You know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? God doesn't lead into temptation. We're led into temptation by, as James said, our own inner desires. That's where the temptation comes from. And protect us from all evil. That's the end of the prayer there. Now, rather than open it up for questions, because there aren't any on the list, I'm getting all the answers here. I'd just like to say this. My hearing is getting up around Anthony's age. So the hearing, that's all I have to keep my age before I can hear it, otherwise I can't. But I'm going to answer from that little will come up or should come up. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6. And I ran this by an Andy Gordon in Facebook last week to see what this tape was on, because he's a mentioned Hebrew scholar. Knows a Hebrew. Does he believe Jesus is the Messiah? And he says, then I'll believe he is the Messiah when I see him sitting on the throne of Israel. That's understandable, because he's seen a lot of other people that point to it. Says, how do I want Hebrew names often honor God. Without the name, making the bearer of that name needed God, because in Isaiah 9, verse 6, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all that. So my name means, Nehemiah means Yah comforts. The last time I checked, I'm neither God nor the Messiah. The last King of Israel's name, Zedekiah, means Yehovah is righteous. The prophet Jeremiah mocks him, saying that in the end, Jerusalem will be renamed Yehovah, our righteousness, and hence will be a true Zedekiah, unlike the wicked by that name. Neither Jerusalem nor Zedekiah are Yehovah, even though their names refer to him and his righteousness. So I understand the name in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to refer to one of Isaiah's sons referred to in the verse. Isaiah 8:18. States, here stand I and the children of the Lord that the Lord has given me as signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. The name in 9:6 is unusual in that it's a very, very, very long name. It is possible to read verse the book Yehovah and his prince, as in the verse, Ezekiel 34:24. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a ruler among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And he quoted the quote this helps. And just in case anyone's wondering about that scripture, he does a pretty thorough study of that. Not from the perspective of believing Jesus is the Messiah, but just from what the Hebrew actually means. So, with that, then we'll read from the mic on. I'll bring back Westmaster, you can request it. Any questions that I can hear? Oh, let me ask you one back in here. You and I are getting together for coffee because I could hardly make any of that out. And I appreciate your question, and we'll get together over coffee. And if there's something to bring up later in the seminar, I'll think about it. Thanks. But other than that,
do you find a distinction with going on in groups of Abba, Father, who I speak to Hebrew? Was there a change in the meaning?
Mm-hmm.
What it means to be God as Father, is it to carry on the same terminology?
So you mentioned to carry on the same terminology as the Old Testament?
Right. When Paul says, by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father.
Right.
You see that as being a carry on of the Old Testament tradition? Do you see that as a higher level of intimacy? What do you see there?
Yeah. As far as I've understood, my perspective is that there's no break, there's no difference between the beginning and the end as far as what God is, where he's coming from, how we approach it. Yes. Yeah, I understand that at a very basic. If it's like protocol in Britain, say, like the royal family, or protocol with the President of the United States, or financial Canada, there's a certain protocol that is established. It's there, it'll never change, in my understanding. I don't know if that answers that, but
that's what I was looking for, your understanding.
Sorry. Anyone else?